Welcome back to the DMCT podcast.
It's boss. It's stuttered. It's started over. Started over. I stuttered.
No, we're not starting over. What were you gonna say? No,
please, I started.
No. What
you do it live, Nigel. You've been here. You've been here for 3 years, 4 years.
You know, maybe we should bring boss back.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's a good call. I think it's a good call.
No, it's okay. You're a special little guy. What were you gonna
say? It's podcast time, baby. Let's go.
I think it's better if you didn't say anything.
Okay, so it looks like season 5 is no different from season 4, 3, 2, and 1. Yep.
Yes. So welcome back, everyone. This is season 5 of the GMCT podcast. We are still your host. I'm Bus.
I'm
and this
I'm bald.
And you are.
That's gotta be keep the name, but keep in the baldness.
And you are.
Who?
You. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah.
Nigel. Nigel.
To be honest, just thinking about it right now, the way Nigel's hair looks, like, come back to the angle you were sitting. Just show us the front of the head. You look a little bit, you look like a fuckboy right now.
You look like a TikToker if you do the, like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Speaking of TikTok, guys, already starting with the shameless plugs early.
Yes, we are on TikTok now and we are on Instagram.
And our first posts are going to be pictures of just the shaft of Who Mom's Penis.
I did not agree to that. I did not agree to that.
Listen, revenge porn is not a crime in Ireland yet.
Really?
No, when did you get circumcised?
Because if it was, when did you get circumcised? Right now.
Fuck. Yo, yeah, you guys cut or uncut? Survey time.
Survey time. This is not
live. We asked three guys. You guys ever see Family Feud? Yeah. Like, we asked three people if they're uncircumcised or circumcised. Our survey said,
ding.
1 out of 3. Okay, nice.
So, Juan, when did you get circumcised?
When did I get that? I think last week.
Sick.
I just went to the. Oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that joke.
No, do it. He was about to say some racist shit about Jewish people.
No, I went into the gender fluid toilets of the glass building, and I got a surprise circumcision there.
What?
But I couldn't say anything because it was during June.
Cancelled.
Technically.
Cancelled.
It was
canceled.
Technically June, so I couldn't say anything, man.
And thank you. Welcome back. Sorry for the small intermission we just had to take there. This is the GMCT podcast, season 5, episode 1.
Bro, why do you always tell me, say the joke and then you're like, dude, don't say that.
Listen, you have a job application in progress right now. You don't want to have that shit come out about you.
Well, this is going to come out maybe after my job application.
He said that Krankenhaus was a better word than Ziegehaus for hospital.
Yes. It's very
controversial.
It's very you use all the parts of your mouth when you say that instead of sick house.
You say Krankenhaus.
Yeah. Can we all agree right now that Dutch is probably the least respected language in the history of languages?
I don't respect English all that much. But
at least you can talk to people in English and not laugh.
Oopsie.
It's definitely the most goofiest language I've ever heard.
Yeah, but whenever anyone talks shit about Dutch, I get offended.
it's that stroopwafel blood inside of you.
Okay, so you might have heard of my intro, my re-intro after Who Mom said all that racist shit.
For the record, I did.
This is season 5. Who Mom, would you like to maybe explain what happened to season 4 and the end of season 3, because there was only 2 episodes?
So probably you guys wondering, how's the season 5 if we didn't see season 3 or 4? We've actually spent the last 2 years recording regular podcasts. We're recording regular content as well. But due to a typo, I was uploading them to the CMGT channel, and they were getting taken down immediately
And then that
after.
whore kept taking them down.
I don't know who works it, but
We're not gonna comment on
it
that.
could be
You'll
some.
figure it. Listen, any of the staff of the CMGT, you figure out which one's a whore.
It could be someone that I know, actually, so I'm not gonna comment.
Oh, shoot. Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's
So
the
what happened,
story.
Mom?
So now we're in season five officially.
Yeah, so I think now's probably a good time to recap a little bit what happened in season four. Boss came back and left again.
Girl.
Then Nigel left and came back again.
Maybe.
Then it was just me and Humam. Then I left. Then it was just Humam. And then Humam left. And we up there was an episode that got uploaded that was just nothing. And then we had like this moment. It was like
That would
it was like
actually be
no, it was like
hilarious. That would be hilarious if we just uploaded a podcast episode as just a desk with three microphones and nothing is happening for like 1 hour.
Anyway, as I was saying,
I'm basically doing that actually, so
right now, yeah, this is nothing of substance.
yeah.
But so basically, we were at this point, we were all out of the podcast. No one was on the podcast. And then it was like a mixture between Brokeback Mountain and the last scene of Tenet, and we all came back together, and here we are, season five, episode one.
Yes, I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain, but I guess I can agree to that.
Yeah, you know, it was more like the last scene of Tenet.
The band is back together.
Yep.
We've always been together, man. Always been.
We'll talk about that
I
later.
don't know if I really like you guys outside of the podcast. So
So I'm probably here
I
to
don't know if
start.
always been together.
I think I'm
Strong
gonna
words.
start this podcast by saying fuck GMCT Central. And the
Yep.
next time you're gonna hear from me is gonna be a diss track.
I want to actually say fuck GMCT and welcome to GMCT Central. Fuck that up and welcome to just GMCT. Central's out.
It's just
Just
GMCT.
GMCT. And
Let's
actually, we're going to do a competition. The first person who figures out what GMCT stands for wins three PlayStation 5s and five iPhone 14s. There you go.
Okay.
First person who gets it correct.
That's a legitimate competition. The only way to participate is to hit subscribe, like the video,
Yeah. And carrier pigeon.
because we
He
can
sent you some
definitely
shit.
see that those stats. We can definitely see every individual like. So please do that. Go follow us on Instagram at GMCT Pod and on TikTok also at GMCT Pod.
No, it's not at GMCT Pod on TikTok. It's something else.
It's at GMCT.
51.
You couldn't write.
Was it? It was taken?
Was just like
It starts.
I set up the TikTok account. I set up the TikTok account yesterday for context,
It
and
stands
it
for
was just like,
GMCT Season 5, Episode 1.
yeah,
We gotta make a
no,
new account for every episode.
yeah, no. But basically, what happened was it was just like enter your nickname. So I was like, okay, GMCT, and it was like accepted it. So I was like, great, we just got GMCT because on Instagram, just GMCT was taken, so it's
Okay.
GMCT bot. And on TikTok, it was just like, okay, great, yeah. And then it put me through, and it was like, our like display name was GMCT, and then it was like at GMCT 51. I'll see if I can fix it. If I fix it, then in post, just put in like a robot saying it. Our name on Instagram is GMCT Pod, and our name on TikTok is. Okay, there we
I'm definitely gonna put some bad words in there.
What
everything that he just said.
would be funny is if like you waited until my mouth wasn't moving and then you put the audio.
Yes. But now it's
All
not
right.
funny because you just explained the joke.
Well, you can cut it out.
Maybe he won't. Maybe he won't.
Anyway, as I was trying to get to before I was so rudely interrupted.
By yourself?
Yeah, by myself. I hear voices in my head, they come to me. I also missed a line in that song. Anyway, If you're wondering why I have a bottle cap and a beer in my hand, it's because we've already recorded the first 40 minutes of this podcast, but Human's shitty setup wouldn't allow us to use it. So
it wasn't my shitty setup, it was Discord. It's made for gamers, but it's a cap. It's not made for gamers.
Well, for some reason, after you restarted your computer, it worked. So
yeah, and it was Discord.
Anyway, let's get into what happened on season 4, which is what happened on your guys' life last. Our last upload was 2020. Is that what we decided? Is that what 21. We... 2021.
you have to get comfortable with it because we're gonna do. Yeah. Imagine you're gonna be part of the script reading.
So. Yeah, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do drunk script reading on that. Yes. Fucked up. Like, and I mean, you gotta get mega. You gotta get just to the point where you can still read, but not the point. Probably to the point where you're gonna shit yourself.
Yeah.
Speaking of shit, Human, what's been happening with your life in the last 3 years?
I've been cleaning shit from the toilet the whole day.
You understood exactly what I was getting at. Go on. Explain. What's up with the reek?
are we talking skid marks or are we talking a whole log?
I have seen a couple of logs, but mostly it is, like most of the time, 90% of the time, it's skid marks. Today it was actually an upgrade and there was a skid mark on the seat itself. Like, and I had to clean that. So I think we need to
bear all here. So Human lives with this guy. Could have been a pro basketball player. Could have been. It almost was.
Before he actually didn't get injured and just decided not to pursue it. So
yeah,
but it's the people's fault for not believing in him. You know what I'm saying?
Before he figured it wasn't worth it, and he poopies and doesn't clean. Doesn't look, is my guess.
He claims he cleans, but you know what? I don't see it, man. I don't see it.
All right, so except for being a shit cleaner, what's been going on?
I graduated recently. Not recently, around April.
The word you were looking for was eventually.
Yes. It's because my company went bankrupt. I graduated in April, officially going to be graduating in like a week from now. I'm pretty excited to go to this uneventful ceremony. And now I'm on the job market, even though I'm technically the editor of this podcast. I'm still basically jobless because Rob just withholds all the AdSense money and uses them to pay
the Dutch government back.
Buy PS5s and then sell them again so he can pay tax money back.
You can blame Mark Luther.
We all blame him. Actually, I want a funny thing that happened when Ava graduated. I was like at Saxon and me and her and Max were just like chatting. And Ruben was just...
Clarify which Max here, dude, because I mean, we had a lot of confusion.
Max Manschainen, a student.
The bad one. I'm kidding.
and Ruben, one of our teachers, was in the room and our conversation became political. And then...
Ooh.
Me.
Ooh.
Like, we were just talking about, like, how Ruta is, like, still here after 10 years. And then I was like, why wouldn't he leave? And then Ruben intervened. And he's like, because... I forgot what he said. But it was the first time I've seen Ruben excited about anything in his life. And I think he has a career in politics. So I'm just going to say, go after it, man. He never approaches people. You always have to approach him. But he approached us to join the political...
You just have to... Name one thing about Mark Rutte and he's there.
Yes. He's like, step bro, come help me. And then he comes in with a blue envelope.
He's like, I just Mark Rutte'd in your face.
So speaking about graduation, I think, in my opinion, the Dutch graduation or the Dutch graduation ceremony is one of the most...
That's not Dutch.
Disappointing. Or that's only...
That's just CMGT section.
Okay, and really?
Some other ones as well, but like there are ones where it's more like
more. Okay, so I guess for our college, it's not really a university. It's a fucking scam.
Contextually,
I do agree with that.
Basically, you just walk up there and you meet the person who fucked you for the last 6 months, and and they give you your diploma and you sign it and you get like a mug and then you are a mug because you paid €8,000 and plus living expenses to go there.
What was written on the mug again?
If you ever feel depressed because you did CMGT, shoot yourself in the face.
For real, what is written on it?
I don't even have mine. My mom kept all my graduation shit. Even the folder.
If it says Saxion or CMGT, that is the stupidest gift to ever give.
It says CMGT.
This person just left the fucking study.
It's CMGT time. So like in the mug it says CMGT and then E time. I think it was something like
nice. After you left the study, they were like, "Hey, it's your study time," and you're like, "No, thank you."
Dude, it felt like I was signing like I was at DMV. I waited in line, and then just went to a table and just say, "Yeah, here you go, man. Sign up. Sign here. Cool. Take a picture. Get out." I was like, "All right."
Yeah.
So I kind of that reward that you get at the end, it felt so bad. Like I had my mom travel all the way from Bulgaria for this, you know, just to see me graduate. Our parents were there. I felt like they were so disappointed from it because in Bulgaria we don't do this. Everyone has like a traditional ceremony where everybody has the little like hat thingies. What are they called even?
Maybe it's gonna be.
And that's what I thought it was gonna be.
I don't know,
bro. I didn't.
If it's different for me this year, then I'll be happy about
it. I think just going to send it. I would have been happy if they just sent it through the mail, to be honest.
Yeah, same. So, I had to take a day off work for it. It's kind of pain in the ass.
Yeah. I agree, but you know what? I'm next in line now, so.
Yeah, well.
You might say you're next in crying.
Well, sign the receipt.
I'm already crying because I can't find a job, but you know what?
Sheesh. Imagine. Hey, get a load of this loser.
Speaking about jobs, Umam.
Okay. Rob,
you have
I got something for your ass. I'm going to pull up the clip right now. Put it as a... Guys, I have a clip of Rob farting on podcast. I have it. Sorry, Nigel.
Okay,
so... I was gonna say, Mom, you have some news though. Speaking about jobs, you recently applied for some, and then one company offered you.
Well, they didn't offer me.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, you started an interview.
By the way, just a side rant for this. I don't understand those companies that when you apply to them, they send you this fucking quiz of abstract questions and abstract shapes. And that is supposed to somehow decide if you're fit for this company or not.
I think it's an IQ test.
Yeah, but why do you need that as a video editor? What am I gonna solve the fucking physics problem?
Maybe.
It's so stupid.
To see if you're mentally capable of doing these functions. I don't know.
I mean, the one that progressed me to the next stage right now gave me something that makes sense. They just told me make a 1-minute video in a shape, in this like a style of an Instagram reel, introducing yourself and talking about some stuff. I'm like, okay, that's dope. I can do that. I can showcase my stuff in that. It's a minute. I can be creative within a minute. But those fucking IQ tests, I just don't like. You don't see the skill. You need the skill. Like what? You're just testing if someone can predict what the shape will look like when you see three abstract shapes, and then you're like, "Oh yeah, this guy has it." But anyway,
it's actually pretty common. I mean, I don't know. I haven't all the jobs that I applied for didn't really need that, but I've heard and there that they
if it's office job, I guess I understand. But if it's something that requires practicality and skills, isn't that what you're supposed to be like? They didn't even ask for my CV. They're like, do this test, and if you pass it, then we'll ask for your CV.
Okay, yeah.
I'm calling you up.
Weird.
Punk, B-U-N-Q.
So anyway, you're going to Turkey to be like a rent boy or something, right?
Grandpa?
A rent boy.
I applied to this company called Super Yachts.
Super Hot.
And I got progressed to the second stage, and they asked me to do a video for them. But and also answer a couple of questions, but some of the questions are a bit, what do you call it? Like, they're not personal, but
sexual.
I would say they were like, what is the latest console released in Bulgaria? And now it is the PS Vita. So that's
hell yeah.
No, that's not true. Come on. It's the shitty version of the PS3 that they released like a month before the PS4 came out. You know, the one that's like the super slim.
Actually pretty sick, that console.
No.
It's so cool. It's so slim.
Shut up, bro.
See, it's because it's the newest shit. He's like impressed by it. But little does he know, in 4 years, they're going to get the PS4 and his mind's going to...
Wait, was that the console that you like...
It was red.
Opened it?
Yeah. It was red.
It was red? That's sick, man. It's so cool. I need to look it up. But it's the one that you can like open up from on top, right? Like you have to like slide.
Yeah.
And they took out the fucking backwards compatibility to it because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. They did that on the slim already. The fat one is the only one that has backwards compatibility.
The one you gave me doesn't have it.
The fat one doesn't have.
No.
That should have.
I tried. I put a PS2 disc in and I was like, no, man. It's not a backwards compatible console. Even though there was like Metal Gear 1 on it, which is a PS1 game. So I don't know, man.
That one belonged to the tortured artist. So
I'm gonna have to make a video. Rob scammed me out of a...
I never even used that PS3. It belonged to someone else. It just came into my possession.
Yeah. Now I don't feel that bad that I came on your couch.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. And I'm not leaving until we talk about this. You're telling the story about why and how you came on my couch. And when he says came, he means ejaculated.
Yeah, talk about
like a good couple milliliters of semen came out.
As I quote one of the greatest movies, Anchorman 2, it was a river of ejaculate.
Of ejaculate. All right, so tell us.
There's
bare facts. No, details. Name and shame.
There's
no
story. I mean,
come on, let's go.
Everyone knows who. Everyone knows.
I don't think everyone knows who. Well, if this podcast gets 1 million viewers, there's got to be at least 990,000 that don't know who.
Well, I'm not going to say who.
500 people that don't know who we're talking about. Yeah. So.
All right, well, just make a fake name and tell the story. Do one of those Reddit stories. I'm going to call her Floris.
I'm going to call her Fleur.
Okay.
So I was with Fleur, and it was actually the night after the Royal Rumble 2020, which was
right
one of the best Rumbles we've
ever had. One of the most emotional nights of my life. And then I found out I was defiled.
It's a night where Rob and I cried because of wrestling, and then Rob the next day
it was a river of tears.
And then Rob the next day cried because he slept on the same couch where I nutted the night before.
Actually, Rory vomited on that couch.
So it already had some body fluids on it.
Yeah, but I would prefer vomit than nut juice.
Why?
Especially from you, Mo.
Yeah, dude, it's probably fucking...
Look at me. He always
I imagine yours is like sticky and gray.
Mine?
It's more like ectoplasm.
No, mine is like beigey. It tastes a little bit like hummus, you know? I don't know. I don't know. I didn't, you know, I was told that.
He's like, I've never tasted it.
I've never tasted it.
All right, so why did you come? And how did you come? And what were the circumstances of the nut?
I just was like, and then...
No. There's more to this story. Why did you think it was acceptable to do an action that would cause you to come? What action caused you to come?
It was 7 a.m. I was tired. My aim was a little bit off.
So you were jerking off, or you got jerked off?
Yes, the second one. And I did not expect that I had a river of ejaculate.
So sorry, the picture you just pulled up, me in that picture is Humam that morning.
Why am I? It looks like I'm touching Nigel, but it's like I'm pointing behind him. Also, me and Nigel have the same haircut in that video.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cringe.
It was a phase.
All right. So getting a bit back on track. We've talked enough about you, Humam, Nigel.
Yes.
The Fleur is yours.
Man, graduated as well.
I'm sorry, you're just like, man, I'm fucking so depressed.
Bro, I mean,
I thought you said, man, I ejaculated as well.
Okay, so you graduated also.
Yeah, well, life's been good so far. Immediately got a job after graduation, unlike some people here.
Right. Fire.
No, I'm kidding. Got a job, got a new place. We rented out a studio apartment in the city center.
It's not a studio, dude.
It's a studio, is it? It's
one bed.
It's a one-bedroom apartment, bro.
Well, a studio is when there's no, like, rooms or something?
Yeah. A studio is when the bed is in the living room.
Oh, okay. So I got a one-bedroom apartment in the city center, living with my girlfriend. And life's been good. Life's been good. Can't really complain. I've been getting into retro gaming. That's pretty cool. We have a colleague.
Commodore 64, baby.
We have a colleague at our studio who collects a lot of like amazing limited edition consoles, and he just has like stacks and stacks of different consoles. And he just one day came up to me because we were talking about some amazing PS2 games like Def Jam, stuff like that. And he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, do you want a PS2? I'm actually planning on selling some stuff. I'm giving you a PlayStation 2, and on top of that, I control in a PS4. Base PS4. I was like, "What? And for how much?" And then he said, "No, 200. I was like, "Yes, right now. Sure. PS4, PS2, PS2 fat, even the fat model. So it's like giga retro. PS2 baby. And it's also modded for region free disc, so I can like buy discs from Japan or America.
Those anime titties on there.
Yeah,
let's go.
That underground shit. And yeah, I've been playing some games there. Got what SSX. So I've been on the PS2, I've been playing SSX 3.
Shit.
Debatable, but.
Well, no,
I'll take your word.
I just think it's good because you've never played Tricky, bro.
Don't you miss the times where developers actually had to put some effort?
Yeah.
Because there's no patches.
Me and Nigel have been slaving for 2 years. I've been slaving for 2.5 now. Slaving. Yeah. And people like you are still going to talk shit, so.
I think the standards for gaming has like went up the roof now. I mean, and
there are some companies still withhold the standards, but you know. Sony
sure.
Companies, I'm just saying that.
You said Sony companies.
Yeah, Sony companies.
There are independent companies also that hold the standards.
Give me one.
Rockstar.
Bruh, they work their staff like.
You didn't say whether they uphold good work standards. You said they uphold good quality standards.
Naughty Dog as well.
Naughty Dog also work their staff to a fucking bone, dude.
Yeah.
Literally every time they release a game, their entire studio fucking quits, dude. No, I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. It like 80% of their staff leave after a game gets
released. At least they deliver a finished game that doesn't need to be fucking day one patch.
It was day one patched, but yeah.
We don't talk about it. I think games nowadays, like to make this, if you want to make a AAA game that's like has so many systems, so like complex stuff in it, it's just gonna take so much time, like at least 5+ years, and that's millions and millions of euros just, you know, invested in. But I don't know, like a game like SSX3, it's like so polished, it's so fun to play, and it's so simple. It's so simple, and it's. I miss those kinds of games.
Are better when the scope is that bit smaller and it's just more focused.
Exactly. So yeah. That's why I think indie games have been like rocking out for the like last
a decade.
Every game has to be open world for no reason.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. I love open world games. They're the games I play the most, but like they're drab. Like they're boring.
There are some games that are just open world. And the open world is not like I'm looking at Ubisoft games right now. Like, I think Ubisoft should probably slow down on the open world and do some focused games for a little bit, I was hoping a little bit for Assassin's Creed Mirage, but after I saw that gameplay trailer,
And I'm gonna not name names. I'm gonna not name no names, but people that work there fucking hate them too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I heard that too. I read about it. Yeah. But
I mean, from their last press conference, I think it looked decent because they're working on now on a new Prince of Persia game that looked like like this, you know, 2D.
Sounds, oh, 2D game. Wait, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a plat. Yeah. It's like, didn't, yeah, they, 2D.
They announced a reboot of, or the re, not a remaster, remake of Sands of Time, but we haven't heard shit about it.
No, they, I don't.
And then they come out with, no, I think they announced it either, I don't know if it was E3 or the Summer Game Awards.
There's no more E3, by the way. Just what? Saying. E3 doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, like all the major publishers
I'm saying pulled out. It could have been there, like E3 back then, because it was a couple of years
ago. Oh.
I'm relatively excited for Mirage, though, to be honest.
Yeah, it looks like they're going back to the old school Assassin's Creed.
Like,
looks...
It still looked like, you know, the last three Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like literally back to basics, you know, like Assassin's Creed 2 or Unity, for example, which is very underrated.
Well, so Unity's not underrated. Unity just was unstable as fuck for a year, and a year is too long, right?
Yeah.
So we had the Cyberpunk situation, and like, yeah, it wasn't like really stable, but after like a month, it was stable enough. Mm-hmm. But they didn't get it stable enough for a year. Which is like crazy.
Which is a shame because beneath all that unstableness is a really good Assassin's Creed
game. I agree because I didn't play it until 3 years after it came out and I was like, this game's great.
Same. Yeah, one of the best animations for parkour, really fluid parkour system.
The map was great too.
The map, absolutely amazing. Yeah, the Notre Dame, like I heard, it took the artist to work on it for 2 years.
Yeah, it's actually, they when the cathedral burned down, they're using the game.
For some reference.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, that's sick. It's crazy. So that's how. Yeah. So I think, and that was done during the, I believe, the yearly release cycle, right? Or that was.
Yeah, but the thing with that, and it's still every 2 years, which is insane, right?
Like,
But they rotated the studios responsible for the games every 2 years, so it was Montreal, which were the ones that did the original like Assassin's Creed games 2, Brotherhood, Revelations. And then there was another one, another Canadian studio that handled every second year, basically.
Okay. They swapped.
And I believe that Unity was Ubisoft Montreal. And then the other one, the one in London, which was kind of shitty.
Syndicate. That was all right.
The other one. It was okay. A lot, like, after that point, a lot of them just lost substance. There just was like, I think, to be honest, what made the trilogy, like, or the quadrilogy, if you want to include the first one, but most people don't. So, 2, Brotherhood, Revelations, was actually the modern day storyline that tied it all together because it gave everything a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas I feel like once they went to like Abstergo as this big corporation and you were just like a fucking cog in the machine, it lost, like, it lost a lot from that, in my opinion.
I think there was, rumors or there was an attempt to translate what happens when you go into the, what is it called again?
Animus.
The Animus into the real world. I think it was Assassin's Creed. I don't know which one. I think probably 3, where there's like some sections where you can do that stuff, but in the real world. No, it couldn't be 3. Then it has to be one of the Ezio.
What do you mean? You can do it in the real world.
There was a section of one of the trilogy where Ezio is that you can do Assassin's stuff, but in the real world.
But that's the whole point. That was kind of like the reason. So that's the story of the game. Like, so it was one to find information out, like where the Apple of Eden is, was the whole thing.
Yeah.
And also, while Desmond was in the Animus, he would pick up the skills of his ancestors, basically.
Yeah.
So that when they had to fight the, what do you call them? Not Abstergo, but like the guys
that the Templars.
The Templars in the modern day that he would be able to throw down, basically.
Yeah. That was like such an amazing like idea and at the time. One thing that I didn't like about Unity though, Assassin's Creed Unity. Sorry to go back to
it. Was in France, like, bro.
Well, now I like it because France downfall is on the horizon.
Okay, sorry.
Speaking about downfall, why did they had English voice actors for the characters there
in every game, man?
What?
No, but like they had British accents. They were like English.
It wasn't like Troy Baker. Well, no, so it can work. Like that can work when it's intentional, but in most things it's not.
No, but like for Assassin's Creed 2 and Revelations,
they had Italian accents. Yeah.
They had the Italian. They spoke in English, but it had the Italian accent, so it made it believable. And they even put in some Italian in there. But like, this
gabagoo.
Hey, I'm walking. I'm assassinating over here. Oh, that was bad.
I just assassinated all over you.
But the Unity one, bro, it's just proper English. It, like, have English accents, and it's just it throws me off so much.
I do have an example of that working as like a choice, right? So there's a movie called The Death of Stalin.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you've seen it?
English, yeah. I've seen it. Yeah, and they're all English.
All of the characters in it are either American or English. But they have regional accents from England or America that are like what you would compare the Russian regional accent to where that person is from. So, like, I don't know where the fuck anyone is from. But let's just say, for example, Gorbachev is from Siberia.
They
have an accent there in Russian, so they get a guy from like fucking Newcastle to play him, and it's like, you know what I mean? Okay. So it's like an intentional choice of, okay, we're not going to have everyone do like a corny Russian accent, but we're going to get regional dialects that are like, this place is the Siberia of England. You know what I mean?
But that's funny, though.
That was really funny.
They forgot to do that in Chernobyl.
The Chernobyl was a good show. I'm not talking shit about Chernobyl. Yeah, it was a good show.
It's a good show.
I meant the event. Sorry, not the show.
Like the actual event.
I like the show. It's really fucking good, but it's weird to be like, is this scientist Vladislav? Yeah.
There's actually an Irish kind of comedian that has a full sketch about like how ridiculous that is.
Is it Mercedes Higgins. Guy?
The Mercedes guy, yeah. It's like, there's been a meltdown in the reactor. You fucking mugs. We're all gonna fucking die, you mugs.
You know what made some of the things very impactful in Chernobyl was that he would just do these comparisons, like say, so this is 50,000 whatever the radiation units are. What are the radiation units? And then he would compare. That's the equivalent of all the bombs we dropped on this. Yeah. And it would be really funny if he's just like, this is 50K radiation, whatever units. It's like, this is the equivalent of like 50 dudes farting in your face at the same time. You realize, Gorbachev, you realize what you've done.
Or he was like, there's a bomb as big as a Chrysler building in there.
Chugga chugga choo choo
choo. Yeah.
That's when they went to like stabilize their reactor, and then one of them was like, nah, chugga chugga choo choo boo, and then the rest of the world has changed. I do have one criticism about the show. So I heard it was filmed in Lithuania, and I was hoping they would recreate the actual crisis in Lithuania and probably wipe it out. That would have been great, but you know, you can't have everything.
And then for some reason they did it in Bulgaria on the release day of the PS2. So sad.
I think Oppenheimer is, if they really want to do something, you know, Lithuania is right there. No one fucking cares about it.
I saw a funny thing, and it was like, finally we're on like a movie that's topical, because like, fucking, what do we talk about? Chernobyl and Assassin's Creed Unity, like, came out so long ago. But I saw a funny thing, and it was like, Oppenheimer, the only marketing they're doing for the movie is just every week up until release, releasing a fucked up picture of Cillian Murphy, basically. That's it.
It's so funny. Wait, what?
They're just releasing a fucked up picture of Cillian Murphy's face. Like, he just looks annoyed or, like, broken in some way. And that's it. Just every week they release a new one.
I think part of the marketing for Barbie is they build an actual Barbie house, like a full-ass Barbie house.
Yeah.
It'd be great if Christopher Nolan was like, I dropped the atom bomb that we made for this movie on top of it.
But when
the behind-the-scenes featurettes come out for Oppenheimer, he's like, yes, we really wanted to get the realistic feeling of the atomic bomb. So I just said, let's build one, mate. And then Michael Caine was like, Chris, you can't build an atomic bomb the size of a tangerine. But we built it anyway. And then we dropped it on the Barbie house. Is it the same studio that's making both movies?
No.
Okay.
It's
Warner Bros. For Oppenheimer anyway, because Chris Nolan was like,
Universal
this is
for Barbie.
Universal. Shit-iversal. Hasn't released a good movie in years.
Fast X, bro? What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, Nigel, what were you going to say?
So like, in my opinion, it's about marketing the Oppenheimer. It's like, I think Barbie is doing put a lot of the work there for marketing Oppenheimer because all the memes.
Oh. Out there, you know who's doing the work for the Barbie marketing? Little Demi.
Go ahead.
It's. I still don't know what the fuck that movie is going to be about.
So I've seen the scene where everyone freaks out because Barbie has a flat foot. Have you seen that one?
It's not because she has a flat foot. It's because she has a foot. And her.
What do you mean?
And all the Barbies are supposed to like always be wearing high heels.
She can take it out of a shoe. Yeah. I think it's going to be good. I've also seen the scene where like Ken's at the hospital and he's like, I was so brave to go surfing because my job is not surfing. My job is just beach. I think it's going to be good. I'm hyped. We're going to buy like a cinema pass this month to go see Oppenheimer and nice. Barbie because it's like €15, so it's worth it.
And my recommendation for this podcast, go see The Flash, guys. It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
The Flash was rough. We went to see The Flash.
It wasn't rough.
After you left.
It wasn't rough. It was...
It was rough.
It was mediocre. It wasn't
Flash
rough.
I've lowered my score. It's a 6 out of 10.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't... It's a 6, but it's not bad. It's not like... You're going to be like, oh, fuck off. No.
It was still the second best DCEU movie. Like, but damn. That doesn't say anything. You know what I see all the time as well? That blows my mind. Zack Snyder has such a dedicated legion of fans. And I have to say that you're stupid. If you're a part of that thing, you're dumb. To be honest. Easy. Those movies are not good. They're not good. The characters are not interesting. They're all the heroes are the fucking same.
But people are saying it's the fault of Warner Bros., not his fault.
Fine. I'm not saying you're an idiot to like Zack Snyder. I'm saying you're an idiot if you like those movies.
Have you seen the Snyder Cut?
I'm not going to sit around for 4.5 fucking hours and watch that, dude. That's just too self-indulgent. That's not a movie. That's a TV show. It's a limited run TV show.
Yeah, then you can watch it on multiple days.
No, because the Batsuit sucks. Those movies. I can't even look at it.
Bruh.
I remember, did we go and see, was it when we went to see WWE?
Yeah.
And the Justice League had come out, and I saw the massive ass poster of all the heroes in their costumes on the side of a cinema near the arena, and I genuinely thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. Someone was like goofing around.
Is it because you do not like any Batman movie beyond the Nolan trilogy?
No, because I like Tim Burton's Batman. I like Batman Returns. I even like Batman Forever.
What about The Batman?
The Batman, mid. 6.5.
Bruh, fuck.
That's the best suit, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't, dude. Bruh,
It looks cool.
You shit me?
Here's my opinion. I just went, like, a couple of days ago, I went to the cinema and I watched The Dark Knight for the first time.
Dark Knight is the best Batman movie of all time. Don't say anything else.
It was good.
You haven't seen it before?
No. It was good, but it felt like a Hollywood Batman. It didn't feel like, oh, this is like a dedicated movie.
The villains are the shot.
They always have like the action scenes and like running.
It is the best Batman movie of all time. And I'm not a big fan of like I think Dark Knight Rises is kind of bad. Like I think it's like a 5 out of 10. So I'm not like all in the Nolan trilogy, but I think Batman Begins is the best Batman origin story ever told. And I think that the best way that it's told, not necessarily it's the best one. I think there's some interesting ones about the non-Bruce Wayne Batmans in the comics. But in terms of like on cinema, on film for Bruce Wayne, like really interesting, modern. And then I think The Dark Knight is just a masterpiece. One of the best movies ever, period.
But you can't call the Batman mid. I'm sorry.
I think it has one of the best suits.
Dude,
in my opinion.
I fell asleep during the movie.
It is long. It's a long movie.
No, not because it was long. It was boring.
So
let me break it down why I think it's bad. Because they're like, the whole thing that people are like, oh my God, he's like such a good detective. And he solves the mystery. I've talked with Nigel about this before. He solves the mystery. So there's one where like Gordon just figures the rest out, right? Like, so that's not even anything. So Gordon is the greatest detective of all time. And then the last one, they're like in Riddler's house or whatever. His fucking incel dungeon. And he's looking around and he's like,
is it the URL?
He might as well. What?
Is it the URL?
No, no. He might as well be blind. And then this guy was like, this carpet reminds me of my father. He used to install carpets. And then he's like, what's that? Oh, it's a tool that you remove carpets with. You can pull up the carpet with this tool. And he's like, maybe you should pull up the carpet and see if there's something underneath. And then he does it, and then they're like, oh, he figured it out. Oh my God, the world's greatest detective.
I didn't.
Some fucking low-level cop figured it out, dude. Like, shut up.
Okay. The detective scenes are not why I like the movie. I like that they took their time with Batman doing detective shit. That's what I like.
But he didn't do shit while he did it. So it was genuinely, one of the scenes was I fell asleep when he started investigating a crime scene. I woke up 25 minutes later and they just figured it out. And I didn't miss anything. It's too good. Like,
the investigations are goofy because there's one where he finds a thumb inside of a drive. He was like, oh, it's a thumb drive. And there's the one where he's like, you are...
But Gordon figured that out as well. Gordon was the one that figured that out.
Well, he's a detective as well, bro.
Okay, but everyone cites the movie as like, he's finally the world's greatest detective. You know who's a better detective as Batman? Michael Keaton in The Flash. Figures out more shit. No, it's true. No. I'm sorry, it's true.
So, to talk about some good things in the Batman movie that I really liked, I think they nailed Gotham, like the city, the scenery there. I think it looked amazing.
Yes.
I personally think that's the Gotham that I can think of. That's how it's depicted in comics and even in Gotham, the series. It's kind of like that. It's like this.
Oh, don't come at me with Gotham, the series.
Gotham and the Dark Knight is just the best in the Dark Knight.
I never said it was the best in the Dark Knight. I'm just saying, don't come at me with Gotham, the series.
Okay.
As a reason for anything, dude. That shit's ass.
The next thing, I really like that this is a very young Batman, like inexperienced. And I really like how it's depicted in his suit and in the car. Like, they really thought about it. And it's super cool because it's, like, that scene where he, like, jumps off the building, you can see the, like, he's fucking scared. He's like, oh, am I actually...
And he almost kills himself
just jump off
when he glides.
Yeah. That was so cool. And the scene with the car chase again with the penguin,
That was sick.
Super cool. That was one of my favorite... Like, I think aesthetically... it was super pleasing to watch. I think aesthetically they nailed the entire atmosphere of Batman. And I think, I think the detective part is really dumb. However, the combat, like the moment where he just like almost going to kill the guy.
The muzzle flash. That's cinema.
Yeah.
I think it should have been a 30-minute short film. I don't hate it. No, I don't hate it. Honestly, I don't. I hate the detective.
Really bad,
I hate the people. No, I hate more the people who are like, this is the greatest Batman movie of all time.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's not.
Yeah, I think that's one of the major flaws about the detective part. It was kind of...
It's not the great... It looks cool. I like the concept. What you like is the concept of Batman Year One. That's it. And that's a comic. I don't think they did it particularly well.
I think they did. They did all right. I think they did a good job. I think just the detective part was kind of bad.
I think that Irish guy who's going to play the Joker is going to ace Heath Ledger. I'm calling it right now. Best Joker.
Not possible. I'm sorry.
It's the best. It's not Joker. Possible. It was already the best.
We'll see.
Fuck Barry Keoghan. Yep.
You cannot deny that the Riddler in that movie was a really good villain.
Yeah, but he wasn't the Riddler, though, was he?
Yes, he was.
He was the Riddler.
No, he was like a new villain. Jerry the Incel.
Yeah, but that's what the fuck the Riddler is.
No, bruh, that is not what the Riddler is. Oh my God.
Does it have to be specific to that one
comic? Does he riddle? Does he riddle?
Yes, he does.
He did.
Thumb drive.
Even at the end.
Thumb drive, guys.
At the end, at the diner, he did the question mark on top of the coffee.
Is that a riddle? That's a question mark in a coffee.
No, but that's the symbol of the Riddler.
Nice. All right. Can we all agree that the best depictions of most Batman characters are in the Arkham games? Can we agree on this?
Well, yeah.
Talking about movies, not talking about games.
I don't care. We're talking about media.
No, we're talking about movies right now.
Shut up, Mom.
I think the best depiction of, if you want to talk media, the best depiction of Batman is the animated series.
Yeah.
It's just a different version of Batman, man.
No, I think Kevin Conroy, RIP, Ultimate Batman. Not Ultimate Batman, the series. I just mean he is the Ultimate Batman.
I think there is a movie on Netflix called Batman Ninja, and apparently it's pretty good. I haven't watched it. It's like anime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sounds dumb.
It's so goofy, but it's really fun. It's a fun movie. It's basically Batman in Japan. It's super fun. Batman. And all the heroes are depicted in this Japanese style, like in the Japanese culture. So like Robin, I forgot how it looked. Either way, it's sick. It's sick. It has like mecha, also mechs in it. Why
Robin,
not?
Why Robin was not? Like a, what's it called? A body pillow? I thought he was just a body pillow.
No.
All right. What was your guys?
There's a scene in that Batman Ninja where Joker is fucking body pillow of Alfred.
Master Joker, please. Your cock is the size of a tangerine. All right, what was your guys, to catch up on the season four, what was your guys' favorite movie since 2021?
Since 2021.
I have mine.
That's a already. Question.
Mine is Morbius.
What?
And my favorite part was when he went, it's Morbin time.
Bringing the good old 2021 meme back.
Actually, my favorite part was when Sony didn't get the joke. And they re-released it. That was my favorite part in the movie.
Yeah. Nobody went to watch it.
It made like, I heard in the US it made like $76,000. When it re-released.
So like, it's what? Like, that's like one cinema probably. Or two cinemas max.
It was me. People went to watch twice. It. That's it.
Wait, what did come out in 2021?
Since 2021, also come out this year and last year.
Oh, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
It's your favorite one?
Yeah. Yep. Everything Everywhere All at Once as well. That's a top movie. That's
pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really liked it. I think those two that are in my mind.
I think top three, number one would be Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Number two would be Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And they just steal everything.
And number three, I actually really, really liked. Have you guys watched Bullet Train?
No.
Oh, yes, I did. That was a fun movie.
I thought that one was pretty fun. Like the banter between the characters, it seems like I said it in my Letterboxd reviewed at Unhumam. Follow me there.
Stop giving yourself your own
for based reviews. I cringe did reviews. Say that they should have a universe of their own. And I still
Bullet Train? No, it's a good one movie, man. What is there else to do?
They do Bullet Boat, and it's
oh,
or they can do Bullet Submarine, guys.
No. Oh man, that was a really fun movie, though. Super fun, chaotic, fun action sequences, and just the entire cast. Yeah,
but he dies immediately.
Yeah, that's the funniest basically. Shit ever.
They do like a whole character introduction, then he dies.
Yeah.
Rob's gonna be like, "The Dark Knight was the best movie." That
yeah, I went to see The Dark Knight in the cinema last week. No, I think Dune Part One was my favorite movie last 2 years.
I still have to see that movie.
You should go see it in the cinema if it comes. Don't even bother watching it out of the cinema.
Well, I need to find a cinema that plays it now. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you should have been there. But yeah, excited for Part Two. I think it was everything that I wanted the new Star Wars to be. To be honest.
Mm.
That's it.
So, yeah.
No other honorable mentions.
That doesn't include
The Dark Knight.
I mean, Spider-Man No Way Home. I don't think it was one of my favorite movies, but I think it's an honorable mention. It gave us some great moments.
Really, it was a phenomena.
Revealed like who the actual best Spider-Man is, which wasn't any of the two that people thought it would be.
Yeah.
But it was Andrew. Anyone who disagrees can fight me.
If you watched Across the Spider-Verse, there are some like interesting shots there. Like there's a shot where they showed how every Spider-Man's Uncle Ben died. Toby was there, but they had a full-ass shot where they focused on Andrew. And I was like, interesting. Why would they do that if they don't have any other plans for it?
Yeah, they probably will be cool in the next movie. I think they also had Donald Glover.
Yeah,
and there's like layers of references for that because
he's been confirmed in, like, as a Prowler in the Tom Holland universe.
Yeah, exactly. But also the whole thing about Donald Glover is so cool because he did like this sketch where he played Spider-Man, and that was like the whole idea for creating Miles Morales. It actually came somewhat from Donald Glover, really? From that sketch. Donald Glover also voiced Miles Morales in one of the animated series. So it goes layers and layers of like, damn, like Donald Glover has been a part of, or you know, been a part of the Spider-Man universe.
I think they should use Andrew to introduce Miles. I don't think Miles and Tom Holland Spider-Man can work together. But, you know.
Yeah, I think, same.
I mean, Tom Holland is like every fucking year he's like, oh yeah, I'm retiring. But
and then every year he's like, yo, actually, psych, I'm good. But he's taking a year off acting because apparently that shitty...
He said that after No Way Home, and then he did this whole, like the crowded room.
Yeah, show. And he's saying after the crowded room that it was an emotionally draining experience. I think it's because Zendaya had to do a threesome in that movie, and he's like, I need to emotionally recover from this.
Jeez.
It's not just that. Euphoria Season 2 released after they started dating, and then that trailer.
Yeah.
I think he's going through Peter Parker problems right now.
I'm giving them till the end of this year to break up. I think it's going
to
happen.
Well, according to a man who works at ILM that will remain nameless, she's a diva.
Yeah.
For real. Not going to spill the beans, but he tried to, let's just say, try to save her life here. And he was basically told, let it happen. No, not let her die, but he was told not to touch. Even though she was moments from death.
I mean, I do still think she's mid in Spider-Man. I don't see... There's nothing interesting.
Is it Mary Jane?
Yes.
There's nothing interesting about her. I'm sorry.
I think she was slightly
interesting in Homecoming because she was like different than Liz. But then after that, she was like...
It was Liz.
The first one.
Was also one of Peter Parker's crushes. You know, if you read the comics... Rob, just like you read Batman Forever or whatever.
I just want to kind of come back to it for a second. Batman is my favorite superhero, by the way. I just want to say that. Like, by far. I kind of think a lot of superheroes are shit.
No way, are you just going to make me get defensive?
Is a person who doesn't have any superhero powers.
Exactly.
Okay, fair.
That's like who Mom just explains the synopsis of Batman.
And also Iron Man.
Yeah. Batman is better than Iron Man, though, for sure. For sure.
The thing... Okay.
Batman has made an Iron Man suit, basically.
Can I interject? I have one thing that I was a little bit like, why? In The Dark Knight, when the first scene in the movie, when they're like meeting Scarecrow, and one of them is pointing a gun, Batman grabs the gun and bends the barrel.
Yeah.
He's a human.
Yeah, but he has a mod on his hand. Yeah, you can hear the gears of it turning when he bends it, dude.
For sure.
It's very detailed.
But then...
Yeah, I mean, Batman...
Then there's a lot of bruises on him when he gets beaten. So I don't know, man. The suit is not cutting it, man.
But then he got the suit upgrade. There's a scene in the movie
where
he upgrades the suit with Lucius Fox, and he's like, I need to be more adaptable. I need to be able to move faster. And he's like, that's going to come at a cost of less protection. He's like, I'll accept that. So yes, of course, Neri died because he took a weaker fucking suit because he wanted to be able to turn his neck. Fuck you. Fuck you. All right. So you guys were in Ireland last week. And by the way, just I didn't give any update about me. I am living in Ireland again, so no longer in the shitter lands. Living in a real first world country. Not paying like 55% tax on my salary, but still getting taxed by the Dutch government. So that's tight.
Let's go.
But anyway, you guys came.
The Netherlands trying to like remind you. Not forget your roots, you know.
Not to come back. They're trying to be like, yo, get the fuck out of here. So,
so, like, today I went to Jumbo. I bought four things. One of them was a piece of steak. And I paid 17 euros.
Guess how much I bought a steak the other day. shitty cut. Like, not a good cut of steak. But it was steak. It was probably equal to the cut you can get in Jumbo, to be honest.
And how much you paid?
3 euros.
5 euros. Three.
And like 750 grams of minced beef, 250. And that's not even in like the cheapest.
That's like at least 5 euros in Yum.
What? Wait, how many grams of minced beef?
750.
750. Seven. What? That's, bro, it's, how much is it? It's 6 euros or 5 euros just to get 500 grams in the Netherlands. It's
and
insane.
It's also like, no offense, it's also whatever we export that is in that as well. So it's like not even.
And flat season. Probably,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but anyway, my point was you guys came to visit Nigel 2 weeks ago now. We were there also there last week. So what did we get up to? What did you guys like? What did you didn't like? Give a quick travel review.
It was very lovely.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Nice, interesting stuff, guys.
Every time I go to Ireland, I remember why I don't want to leave. Actually, when I was in Ireland, I was telling Rob probably every day, like, bro, how the fuck does the Netherlands dare to call itself a country, man?
For me,
no culture, no food.
Yeah.
No money.
Yeah, we actually, well, we were, because we went to London for something, which we'll talk about maybe in a few minutes, not to let this drag on too long, but. We were in the airport and we talked about it and he was like, what does the Netherlands have that's like interesting? And I was like, if you smoke weed and it's illegal in your country, then it's interesting.
In London, like Rob and I went to this market area that has like a shit ton of like food shops.
Camden Market, for anyone that's wondering.
Yeah, it's like different cuisines, like really, it is a little on the expensive side, but I don't think that's because of inflation,
it's like,
because of London. But,
well, no, also the Britain is getting hit pretty hard with cost increases right now. So as an example, like the price of something in Ireland in euros is going to be the same figure price in pounds there. And like £10 is like 12 euro, for example. So it's more expensive there because inflation generally, like it's affecting every country in the world right now. But they're getting hit worse because they left the EU. So they also have to pay import duties on everything from the EU and they import a lot of shit. So just, it is expensive. London, yes, more expensive, but then the UK is also just a bit more expensive than the rest of Europe at the moment.
It's so expensive that the payments that I made in London are still like adjusted.
Days. Dude, they're changing prices.
Because the
Jesus.
The currency is going up.
Damn.
But holy shit, a lot of good fucking food. There was a Poffertjes stand here that I didn't get.
It was also
a bunch of
people that we made.
I would like, based on what I ate there, I would love to assume that that would have been tasted way better than the ones that tasted here.
Okay, but let's get back to Ireland. So what was your favorite, like, top three things, Nigel, go?
For me, there's a couple reasons that I really liked Ireland. For me, this is my first country that me and my girlfriend visited that you didn't need to know another language to be able to get around. That for me, it was surreal for at first because like, oh, dude, I can understand everyone, what you're saying. I can just communicate freely, not be ashamed that I don't know the language and stuff. Second of all, everything is very lush. It's like super green, like very lush forests. It's just, I've never seen so like this interesting nature in Ireland. And yeah, I mean, I really liked it in general. It's a very lovely country. Weather could have been better, but that's normal, right?
We got sunburned after you left, so
yeah,
typical, typical. Of course, it's gonna be that.
I do agree with Nigel that the greenery in Ireland are way more beautiful than I feel that the greenery in Ireland is like natural, and the ones in the Netherlands is like designed.
It's all man-made. Yeah, it's all. It absolutely is. So
it's weird.
Yeah And for me, what I kind of didn't like is that the infrastructure, like the thing is, since living in the Netherlands, the they've set the bar for how public transport should be. Like they've, no one can compare to it. And I think unfortunately Ireland, they rely a lot on buses and stuff like that. Not to say that it wasn't, you know, it was, it's fine, you know, riding buses, but the convenience of having public transport always there for you is very, very nice. And I think the Netherlands taught me the importance of that. And in Galway, it's like when we, you know, went to your city, it's like, cool, we're at your city, no public transport. It takes you an hour to get to wherever the fuck you want. And it's like, it kind of sucks.
That's,
you
can't get that's like a different thing, I think, as well, because, well, the Netherlands doesn't have any, like, historical shit, really. Except for the city centers, right? Which logically they have public transport to them.
You have to also remember, like, that the Netherlands is insanely small.
Yeah, so the Netherlands is about one third the size of Ireland, and I agree, our public transport is not that great. The inner city one is actually quite good. Like 60 cents from my place to the city center, like
I would cheap. Say it's cheap. It's really cheap. Like from where you live to the city center was like 180. I think it's cheaper if you have a card.
Yeah, 60 cents if you have a card.
From where I live to go to like the trampoline park, which is like 7 minutes by the bus, I pay like 280 with a card.
Yeah,
that doesn't make
sense. It's very expensive.
But like about the public transport, it's like the places we went. So we went to one place that was like a long drive, and it would have been really long on public transport, like an hour and 45 minutes, and it was like an hour by car. But that's like in the middle of nowhere. Like there's nothing.
Yeah.
There.
Fair enough. You know?
So I think it's like, it's annoying because it's a major like tourist attraction, but I think they mostly expect Americans to go there, and Americans like just come in big fucking like hordes basically on buses.
Yeah.
but you know, I agree. I think our public transport could be better, and it's a bit to do with when we became independent of Britain. And I think a little bit before, they started dismantling our rail network, which is like really annoying. And then we became reliant on buses. But like the old rail network was like more densely packed than the Netherlands one when we still had it, basically. I can send you guys a map afterwards. But yeah, I agree about the
public transport. Or maybe we can pull up the map right here.
Yeah, put it up there. You can see how dense.
There you go.
All right, go ahead, sir.
So some other things that I really liked is that it reminds me a lot of Bulgaria to me, in terms of, I mean, I come from Sofia, so like from the biggest city, right? And the nightlife there is just, it's really nice. And I had a lot of fun. The people were just, I don't know, I didn't meet any like people that I would be, what else is this guy? Like, I don't want to be close to this guy. Everyone were very friendly for some reason. Like, we were sitting, I think me and mom, you were there, like our girlfriends, we were all sitting together in this, like, what do you call it, in the bar.
Yeah, there's a bar with in Galway called Carl's on Dominic Street. If you're ever there, go. They have a part of the beer garden called the Caravan Club, and it's basically bordered by caravans that are, one of the walls has been ripped off, and you can sit inside and look up to the bar. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about. But...
Yeah, exactly. And there was this lady that came up to us and said, "Hey, why are you guys all sitting here? Come on, let's. Anybody want to come dance with me?" And we're all like, we're tired. And then she just sparked up a conversation about that she's going to a Beyonce concert. And me and my girlfriend, and Umam as well, and his girlfriend, we went to a Beyonce concert actually like a week prior to coming to Ireland. We just had a very fun conversation. And it's like, it's super nice.
It's easy to approach people, and it's easy to talk to people there. That's how
Exactly.
That's just how I see it.
Put it.
Like you would actually have a friendly conversation. I think Dutch people will act friendly towards you, but they don't not necessarily mean that they are friendly towards you. But I believe in Ireland, you are more likely to like meet a new friend If you go out drinking often in Ireland, I think you're gonna like meet new people like at least once a day.
Food is amazing. Oh man, that pizza place that we went to, dude, at like 2 a.m. What the fuck? That caught me off guard.
I just want to shout out all the places you're talking about before you continue. Napoli Pizza and Pasta on Middle Street in Galway.
Dude, yo, shout out to Napoli, man. They killed it. Holy shit! Oh, and they,
you have to. This try... is like the. Nigel, next time we go, I have to try the spice bag. Holy shit. Holy shit.
We'll do. I mean, to be honest, after while me and Kalina were traveling back to Dublin to catch our flight back, we were like contemplating, should we move here? Should we actually like look up some places, get like find some studios, find some companies that actually move here? And to be honest, because it's like, you know, English speaking country, very nice, modern, part of the EU, which is a big plus for us. And yeah, it's that's how big of an impact it gave us. So yeah, I have probably nothing bad to say. But about the food, like goddamn, we went to for the two people that are watching this podcast, we went to a fucking amazing restaurant. What was it called? Like it was near a river.
Morans on the Weir. Is what it's called. It's near Clarin Bridge in Galway. It's a legendary seafood restaurant. Many famous actors, whenever they're in Ireland, go there.
Was there, bro.
Pierce Brosnan.
Macklemore.
To name but a few, but yeah. Morans is really, a spot for sure.
Absolutely amazing. Like, amazing, amazing food all around.
And I gotta say, for the prices, it's like you get a good portion. You feel full. Not like... The Netherlands. This is gonna turn
they're the same.
Ireland versus the Netherlands podcast.
They're the same prices as a bistro here in Enschede in the city center. Yeah. And this is, I saw the prices. Like, damn, this is the same as the Netherlands. I was like, what? And we're at like a very high end. I would say like a very good authentic restaurant, like very highly praised. And I would expect the prices to be like very expensive, but. It's basically the same as a bistro here in the city center.
First of all, I thought, okay, these are like we are at restaurants, and I don't really go in and out at restaurants in Enschede. But then we went to a bar, I think it was Taylor's, and they had the fried chicken in there.
Those Carol's.
Carol's. Yeah. They had the fried chicken in there, and that was probably like holy shit, a really fucking good fried chicken inside of a bar.
Just to give Carl's another plug, inside of a double decker bus.
Yeah. That is inside.
That
of a
sounds
bar.
So cool. I've never been there. We didn't bring us there, man.
We did. We went there.
It's the caravan place, but we went there when the chicken during the day.
Yeah. Oh.
But also, you had Harry's fried chicken as well, right? Which
was awesome. Also probably the best fried chicken till this day that I've ever had. A lot of foods that I had during my trip are, I can say, like, they're top tier. Like, way, way better than anything that I've ever had here. And I've been to fancy restaurants, but...
You're like, I'm a well-traveled man. I've been to fancy restaurants before.
I'm just a regular man with a big appetite.
To get, like, top three things, then, I'm curing food. Where are we putting food on? You know, 1, 2, 3.
What? Go again?
Like top three things about your trip, right? So I'm hearing food, I'm hearing people, I'm hearing the landscape.
Okay.
What are we saying? What are you guys saying? Where are you ranking it? In terms of like, what is the best thing? What is the second best? Start with three. So what's the third best thing?
Third best thing is
landscape for me.
People for me.
Oof.
All right.
I think
second place. Go
second
ahead.
Place is food.
Second place food. Interesting. All right, Nigel.
Second place landscape.
All right.
And number one is people for me.
People.
Number one food.
Food. All right. I just want to say, and this one's not going to be in, we just got our first piece of short form content, guys. Congratulations.
Hey.
So you'll see that on TikTok near you.
You know what's crazy also? That the plane tickets are insanely cheap. Even during the season.
Whoa, you guys want to know another thing the Dutch government did? This is like the fuck the Dutch government podcast right now.
Yeah.
But they made it so that you used to be able to get flights from Amsterdam to Dublin for €10. But they made a law, a tax now, that literally you can't get a flight out of the Netherlands for less than €25.
Yeah.
Not possible.
Yeah.
Jesus, why are they? Why are we so greedy,
you
man?
Send me a screenshot. You went to Dublin for €5.
Yeah,
bro, I saw that and I was like, no way, this is insane.
It takes more than €5 for me to go for where my parents live, the town where my parents live, to fucking Almelo, the shithole of the Netherlands.
Even the bus, like in Enschede, when I was there, from like if you don't have a public transport card, if you just go to the bus and buy a ticket, which so that's not necessary anymore because you can scan on, but back 2 years ago it was. It's €4 for a ticket.
Yeah.
And it's like a 15-minute bus ride max.
And actually, there's one fucked up thing that's happening. It used to be, or I think they are, like the bus drivers used to have a law where they have to ask you where you're getting off. So they get you exactly how much money from your current stop to the stop you're getting off. But now they're super fucking lazy. So like they just, you buy a full ticket, even if you're not going the whole way.
Yep.
So that's what, I mean, now it's, no one does that because you have like contactless. So it's fine, but
prices are also affecting, you know, trains, and it's getting crazy because I have to go to Eindhoven to work, and train tickets are, I think, already €30, maybe even more. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it's 30 flat, and it's like
before, right?
I think a return trip to from here to Ireland is less expensive than a return trip from here to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm looking at I whipped out Ryanair right here, and it's €42 for 5th of August. Okay, July is kind of more expensive because I guess it is the season.
It's also short term, right? Like it's very close. So
yeah, it's really close. Exactly. Yeah. So 1st of August, €60. 2nd of August, 40. Less than €40, 38.
If you're willing to travel like on a weekday, like on a Thursday or a Monday, like it's going to be cheap.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's crazy.
All right, I think moving in because we've been going for a while now. Just onto the last little segment that we should talk about. I think is the second half of that trip, which was something me and Humam did, which was go to.
I just chill here.
This is the wrestling section of the podcast, guys. So for those who don't want to stay, see you later. Don't forget to follow us at GMCTPod on Instagram and at GM. On TikTok. And yeah, for those second, who want to stay listening about our trip to London and wrestling.
Before we continue for a second, I saw the snowball behind Nigel and I'm like, why the fuck are you not using that and using?
Yeah, why are you? Oh, yeah.
It's just a picture from the podcast.
Yeah.
The snowball microphone.
All right. Anyhow, so me and Human went to London. So basically, Nigel and Kalina, his girlfriend, came. Thursday to Sunday to Galway, Humam, and I don't know, are we cool to say names or no?
Yeah, Ava, my girlfriend.
I don't know. Stayed for another 4 days until Thursday, and then me and Humam went to England, London, to see SmackDown and Money in the Bank pay-per-view from WWE, which for me was a childhood dream, and I'm pretty sure same for you.
It's for me as well, yeah. I mean, I never thought I would be able to do it, to be honest, but
wait, was this your first show?
It was our first paper
like
televised show.
Yes.
Okay.
So they normally come.
They normally come for house shows or live events, which is untelevised, which means it's still fun to go there. Like I recommend anyone who is like slightly a wrestling fan or interested in wrestling, if they're coming to your city, go there, sit in a nosebleed. It's really not that that expensive.
And I will say though, a lot of fun. That there is nothing like. The pay-per-view.
No.
I have to say it was unbelievable.
I had a revelation moment there. It's so for people who watch wrestling, there's a specific moment in wrestling history. It was a match between Mankind versus The Rock on Raw. It's where Mankind won the WWE Championship. It's a very popular moment, but there's an interference from Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if you know him, his theme song starts with a glass shatter, and when that glass shatter hit, you can see every single person in that arena standing up and like raising their arms. And I always look at that and I just say wrestling will never be that popular again, because back then it was just like good timing. Wrestling was like mainstream popular and characters were good. But when we were at Money in the Bank, we had a similar moment, and I was like, okay, I was proven wrong. Wrestling.
I would argue that there was two, actually.
Okay. What is the second one? Is it Cena? Oh yeah.
Yeah. So for context, a little bit of context, not to get too deep into it. There's a huge storyline right now. People who were wrestling fans before but have fallen out are even aware what's happening. With the, there's a massive family of Samoan descent wrestlers. The Rock is in this, like, real. They're really family. Mm-hmm. The Rock is in this family. Like, you can name every generation of wrestling from the 1970s onwards, and there's a legendary wrestler from that family in that generation. So in the 90s, it was The Rock. Roman Reigns is the guy right now. He's not that famous, but he was in a Fast and Furious movie. That's probably what he's most mainstream famous for. Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. He and then he has a lot of family. And then they have lots of people who are not, let's say, legendary status, but they're very famous wrestlers. Like Umaga is a guy who's passed away now, but was a very famous wrestler. Not mainstream, but as a wrestling fan, you'll know who he is. They're involved in a huge storyline all about their family and who's like the leader of the family and who's like the top guy. It's huge, and it's all like kind of family civil war stuff. It's massive. And what he's talking about is, spoilers for Money in the Bank for anyone that cares, this storyline's been brewing for 3 years, give or take 3.5 years, where Roman Reigns is like the ultimate guy. No one's going to beat him. He kind of manipulates his whole family to serve him and keep him on top. They eventually turned against him, and the match that they were finally having against each other, his family versus him, was at Money in the Bank, and he lost for the first time in 3.5 years. That's the moment who mom's talking about. And the roof blew off the place, basically. Like, it was insane. Like, the atmosphere and the energy in the arena at that moment was insane.
So I think the way I see it, if I'm not sitting like really close to ringside, I don't like get that animated. I don't get up. I don't like do a lot of moves or a lot of cheers. I scream. I express with my voice. But during that match, there was a specific moment where Roman put the Usos on top of each other, which is a callback to when he pinned two legendary wrestlers, Edge and Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, in the main event.
Also like a mark of disrespect, just to abstract it from wrestling in specifics. It's like, you're supposed to pin one person in a multi-person match to win, and he's like, I'm so much better than you, I'm going to pin both of you at the same time. It's like a mark of disrespect.
I can speak comfortably that the majority of people in that arena thought that that was it. And when they kicked out, the reaction was insane. I stood up and I just couldn't sit down after that. I was screaming to the top of my lung. I forgot that this whole thing is like staged. And I believed in that moment that, okay, this is real to me. This is real to me, damn it.
And when the moment that he lost, like, we jumped out of our seat, we cheered. And then there was this guy that we'd kind of been talking to over the 2 nights that the show was on. Yeah. A bit, and the three of us just like hugged each other like it was such a moment, you know what I mean? It was crazy.
It was wholesome. It was great. We were jumping for joy for a man pinning another man in a fictional sport. But
in their undies.
No, they weren't.
Oh, they don't wear undies. They're all in combat pants, these guys.
Was Logan Paul also there?
Yeah, Logan Paul, great wrestler.
As a wrestler, he is insane. And as a character as well, because I said when we were on SmackDown, there was only two people that got the loudest reactions in the room. That was LA Knight. He got the biggest cheers. Yeah. And Logan Paul got the loudest boobs.
But it's not
the
loudest
boos I've ever heard. Like, I was, when he came out, I booed. Me and Rob were booing. But then the boos were like so loud that I stopped and I just looked at Rob. I was like, what the fuck? I've never heard that before in my life. And he knows it. He plays along with it. He's really good at being like a dickhead. I mean, he's probably a dickhead in real life, you know.
He's being exposed for a lot of stuff right now.
One last thing on this point, and this is like maybe means something to you, Nigel, because he's obviously very, very famous. But it was on the pay-per-view. It was like between a pretty innocuous match, like nothing super special happened on the match before, and when we're watching it live, like, they normally show some ads on the TV show, and we're just kind of, they're resetting the ring. Yeah. People are coming out. They're just getting their ring to look clean, basically. But it's like 3 minutes. It's all it lasts. Okay. They just clean up a little bit. So we normally see that in like a video plays for us in the arena and to distract everyone from what's happening in the ring. And then that ends and we're like, okay, time for the next match. And there was like 3 matches to go. So we're like, cool. And then John Cena's music hits and he was not supposed to be there, like, at all. The loudest noise I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Damn.
And he comes out and then he does this. And if you know what WrestleMania is, this is going to mean at least something to you.
I know.
WrestleMania in London. He called for WrestleMania in London.
If you know WWE, they don't say something that they're not going to deliver on.
Yeah.
Especially a show like that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I'm calling,
especially from John Cena as well.
I'm saying right now, if WrestleMania is happening in London, Nigel, you gotta be there.
We gotta make it happen. It will be my first ever wrestling experience as well.
But it's not just Mania. They're also calling for other shows like Royal Rumble or SummerSlam. But I think WrestleMania is a good event for even people who are like slightly interested in wrestling to go there, have fun.
So it sounds like they want to make WWE also like a big thing in Europe.
It's already huge in Europe, to be honest.
We're thirsty for something.
I don't know, I think it's only you two guys.
Usually they just
You just don't know the audience, dude. Like, there was people from all over Europe at the event that we were at.
There was people from Germany, people from Spain.
Okay.
It was very, yeah. And the funny thing, I mean, I was part of it as well, is that most of the audience there were just like grown men.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of kids there, but it just shows you like all these people probably grew up watching wrestling and this is like their first time seeing a show. Because like the last one that happened from WWE was like 30 years ago or something.
So it was like, it was 20 years ago, but it really was like a show that meant nothing. It was like very small time show. The last big time show that happened was in 1989.
Yeah,
that didn't really matter. But then in 1989 was SummerSlam,
yeah,
which was a very big show.
And usually when they come to like, when they do shows, big shows outside of the US, it's inconsequential. Like the champion will stay champion, like the good guy wins. But on that show, and I firmly believe that was a point in history. Like, this was the first time Roman Reigns has been pinned in 3.5 years. So we were actually there witnessing wrestling history. And when they play that back in like 5 years, we're like, shit, we were there. We cheered. We jumped. Nice.
So that's the thing, though, with wrestling. It's from the sounds of it, it's you guys get very hyped with a lot of the historical context in that event, but if like a new guy like me would come up, I would have no idea why
it's a bit difficult to get into. But I think if you watched with us for like 3 weeks, every show, you'd get all the characters. They're not that the bloodline is going to be difficult because that's like 3 years of content you need to be aware of. But like, no, it's not that hard.
There is a compilation on YouTube by WWE itself,
which I just watched.
It's called The Bloodline full playlist. If you're interested in it,
The Bloodline.
It's pretty good. It's really, I will say that
they do miss a lot of context on that video, though. Like, I found myself having to explain a lot of stuff when I watched it. But
yeah.
One of the biggest things that I have to like let go of is the fact that this is all...
But it's a movie. Fake. Just think about it like a movie. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing. I just gotta let it go and just think.
I think if you're really into any form of media like movies, TV shows, video games, I think there's something for you in wrestling.
I'll watch Rusev. I'll just watch his
Miro. His name is Miro now, by the way.
See him because also AEW, the rival company, is also doing a show in London in August.
Is he still going? Is he still popular?
Yeah. Popular question. Going, yes.
Okay.
Okay, I think... go ahead.
No, I'm just saying let's do it. I'll join you guys for WWE. But what, are they like late night or something? Because it's in America?
No. We might just watch it during the day.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fine. We'll work.
This is some GMCT lore. We did do Nigel's reaction to... very good wrestling matches that are still.
You should bring it up.
You know, I think we should do that. No, let's do it again. But I think we should watch some sick shit. Like, we should watch, Foley, Taker. We should watch TLC 2. We should watch like some classic shit.
I think with the copyright laws, that should be maybe a
challenging
Patreon exclusive.
Well,
How did pretty, you know, the YouTube channel pretty much it? They review movies and stuff.
Different. Movies, if you're doing commentary, wrestling companies are very notorious. Like, you can't really show anything. Like, most of the wrestling YouTubers, they just use still images. And you just
have to
deal
with it. Okay. Right. We'll see what we can do about it, I guess.
I would say no. But yeah. I think this was a good... first episode of season 5.
Yeah, we had a bit of a catch up, bit of an argument. Fuck the Batman. The Dark Knight's the best. Yeah, so just want to remind you. Yeah. I just want to remind you guys again to check us out. The links are going to be in the description, but at GMCTpod on Instagram and on TikTok. Link in the description. Also, we're going to be posting some more short form content there. Also, just some updates about what's happening with content on the channel. But if you can't digest, you know, the full hour 40, the full hour that we're doing on the podcast, there's going to be some clips there that might draw you into a specific episode. So keep your eyes and ears peeled.
Hell yeah.
There's also hopefully more content, like more other forms of content also coming up. We're discussing porn.
That's what we said last time.
Yeah, we're setting up some GMCT OnlyFans. It's at GMCT.
Actually, if you subscribe, I've been filming secretly, and if you subscribe, you can see me fuck this cue ball. This whole podcast, I've been doing it.
Oh, nice. That's the lap cam.
Yes. But yeah, we're talking about stuff, more games, more drunk. We're thinking of drunk script reading. I think that'll be.
Miles is gonna get fucked up. He's got to channel his inner Ireland vacation days where he drinks a lot and vapes. Also.
Oh yeah.
I was feeling totally fine, to be honest. I didn't even get drunk.
See, you proved something to yourself there, Nigel. That's what you did.
Yeah.
You proved something to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for watching, for listening, guys. We'll see you on the next one.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you. Peace.
Love you.
Robbie forgot to
scream. Bye
bye. Huh?
You forgot to scream.
Oh.
I'm mature now. I don't scream anymore. Fuck. No, because I like Tim Burton's Batman. I like Batman Returns. I even like Batman Forever.
What about The Batman?
The Batman, mid, 6.5 out of 10.
Bruh, fuck.
It has the best suit, in my opinion.
So let me break it down why I think it's bad. Because they're like, oh my god, he's like such a good detective. They're like in Riddler's house or whatever,
Yeah.
his fucking incel dungeon. This carpet reminds me of my father. He used to install carpets. What's that? Oh, it's a tool that you remove carpets with. You can pull up the carpet with this tool. And he's like, maybe you should pull up the carpet and see if there's something underneath it. And then he does it, and then they're like, oh, he figured it out. Oh my God, the world's greatest detective.
That's
Okay,
cool.
You
It looks cool.
here's
You
my
shitting
opinion. Here's
me?
my opinion. I just went a couple of days ago. I went to the cinema and I watched The Dark Knight for the first time.
Dark Knight is the best Batman movie
I
of all
haven't
time.
seen
Don't
it.
say anything else.
It was
You
good.
haven't seen it before?
No, it felt like a Hollywood Batman.
The
They always
villains
have the
are the.
moving shot. They always have like the action scenes and like
Bruh.